Hello and welcome to IT Time TechNet Radio. I'm your host, Blaine Barton from the DX organization, and I have a special guest today talking about System Center vNext. We have Richard Balsley here. How you doing, Richard?
Doing good, Blaine. How are you?
Doing good. Thanks for being on the show. You want to tell us just a little bit about your background and what you're going to be talking about today with Windows 10 deployment and, of course, System Center vNext?
Yeah, sure. So my name is Richard Balsley. I'm a Windows Client Deployment and Manageability Specialist in our education organization. I've been here with Microsoft about 5 years, but I've really been doing System Center Configuration Manager going all the way back to SMS 2003. So it's been about 12 years now. So quite a while.
Yeah, great. So it's perfect timing, right? I mean, we got System Center vNext coming out, and it's hot off the press. So we're excited to have you on the show. So let's go right into the content. Let's talk about the agenda.
Okay, so today we're going to talk about System Center Configuration Manager. And you'll notice here that in this session, we're not going to mention any year. So in the past, we've always had System Center Configuration Manager 2007 or 2012 or 2012 R2. But as we go through System Center Configuration Manager from now into the future, we're only going to have just a product called System Center Configuration Manager. There's no year that's going to be appended to this. So the release that just came out this past week on the 8th of December is System Center Configuration Manager. You might have heard us call it vNext, something like that. But it's really just Configuration Manager going forward. So what's new with Config Manager? Well, with Configuration Manager, you might also hear us call it 1511, and that's just the name of the year and the month. So 15 being 2015, 11 being the month of November was when code was completed on it and it was released in December. So key new features that we have with Windows 10 or with the new version of Configuration Manager is to support the new Windows 10 features. How we do the Windows in-place upgrade support, and then there's a number of other things that we've added to Config Manager, but the session is only so long. We can't go through every single feature that was released with the latest version of Config Manager. So what we'll actually be focusing on in this session is what we're doing with Windows 10 in support of the new features, how we're doing in-place upgrade support, and also what are deployment rings and what is this new deployment dashboard that we have in Config Manager. And we'll go through a demo of what all that looks like. So what we hear from our customers is, how am I supposed to deploy Windows 10? A lot of them have gone through either using Configuration Manager before in the past, but a lot haven't. A lot have been using Sneakernet, using Ghost, using tools like the Microsoft Deployment Toolkit. So this session really is going to talk about how we really should be deploying Windows 10 using Configuration Manager. We're not really going to talk a lot about MBT. We're not going to talk about Windows Update, although those are all features that you can use. This session really is going to talk about what we do with Config Manager and Windows 10. So getting to Windows 10, how do we get there? A lot of customers that we have that have installed Windows 10 so far, they've gotten it through a variety of different ways. You can get it through Windows Update, which is the first time we've ever really done something like this to get a broad release of Windows through Windows Update. But we also have our enterprise customers that probably aren't going to use Windows Update. Over 110 million devices have actually upgraded to Windows 10, and that's across the world. The majority of those took an update that was free for the first year of the Windows 10 release. They took that update through Windows Update. But for our enterprise customers that are using managed tools, they've really got three main ways to get to Windows 10. And a lot of these are either through our traditional methods or using something like our in-place upgrade process, or even using something that's new called our IT provisioning process. So the first one I want to talk about here is on the left side of the slide deck is our traditional upgrade process or our traditional install process, which many of our customers are already used to today. They're using our tools like Config Manager or Microsoft Deployment Toolkit, and these are really refreshing devices or doing wipe and load deployments of Windows. So they're used to capturing user data and settings. They're used to deploying a custom image that they're capturing either through MDT or they're manually capturing a reference machine that they're installing Windows on. Also that they're injecting their drivers into their image, they're installing applications, and they're restoring the data and settings of the user after the image has been laid down. This process is what most customers used when they were going from XP to Windows 7, or even Windows 7 to Windows 8. This process, you can still do this today. There's nothing that will prevent you from doing this. You will still need to cut your images for your bare metal installs. But what I want to focus on today for our talk is how we do upgrades. And this is something that we really improved on with the Windows product. moving forward, because with Windows 10, Windows is going to this process that's more of a service as opposed to a release that you're going to get every 2 to 3 years that you'll wipe a device and load a new version of Windows on it. So we need to make sure that the upgrade process works well. So in order to do that, we're going to let Windows and Config Manager do the work. And when we go through the demo a little bit later, you'll see how simple it is to really just do an in-place upgrade of a device or a collection of devices within Configuration Manager. But we'll also be preserving all the user data settings, applications, and the drivers. So essentially what we're doing here is we're not copying data off using something like the user state migration tool or using some USB drive that you might be copying user data to or a network share that you're copying the data to. Now what we're really doing is just leaving all that data there and just letting Windows do all that work. And we'll also be using a standard operating system image. We're not going to use a custom image that a lot of customers might be used to, where they're capturing an image like Windows 7. They capture it, they shove all the updates into it. They might make it a hybrid image or a full image or a thick image where they put applications into it as well. In this case, we just use a standard stock image that you get directly from the volume licensing portal or even MSDN. We just take that image file, the WIM, and we just use that for the installation. And then we'll also restore everything back to the way it was. So we're not taking your data, moving it off somewhere, and then pulling it back. It's just all going to be there. And this is what we recommend for any of our customers that are going from Windows 7, Windows 8, or Windows 8.1 directly to Windows 10. Because once you get to Windows 10, we will be releasing multiple releases of Windows 10 throughout the year. It could be 2 to 3 releases. And in those cases, you're not going to want to have to wipe a device and continually reload Windows. You're just going to be doing an in-place upgrade process for those new releases of Windows 10. And then on the right-hand side here, we have this new process that we're doing called IT provisioning, or using what we call provisioning packages. And a provisioning package is something that you create through a new tool that we have in the Windows Assessment and Deployment Kit, or the Windows ADK, and that's called the Windows Image and Configuration Designer, or WICKD. We can use this tool to create a provisioning package, but we can also use it to create an image that includes drivers and applications and different settings that you would like to include in the image. So think of it sort of like a modular way to create your operating system image, as opposed to in the old days where we would create a reference device and we would install apps and we'd install drivers and we'd put reg hacks and all sorts of different things into it and then capture that and use sysprep and then capture it with something like Vism or ImageX. We don't really have to do that anymore. We can use something called WICKD or the Windows Image and Configuration Designer to really do all that work for us. And lastly, we also have the ability to use what we call user provisioning. And this is using something called Azure Active Directory, which I'm sure, Blaine, you've probably had some discussions already in your cloud series about Azure Active Directory and going through that. We can do Azure Active Directory join with Intune auto enrollment. So essentially what this means is you deploy a device out and the user signs in with their Azure Active Directory account and they're automatically enrolled into Intune have that device as a managed device, and it also can get policies and software and various other things through the cloud from Microsoft Intune.
Yeah, I like the integration of the Office 365 tenant with the Intune integration, right? So add your users in on your tenant when you create your Office 365, and then you have your tenants, established, and you have your users that can access and take full advantage of Azure AD. So good stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. So how should we deploy and manage Windows 10? So we've got really two sections here in this slide. We've got the light blue and we got the dark blue. The light blue is really for our existing devices that we have out there in the field, our Windows 7, 8, 8.1 devices that have our legacy Windows 32 applications, and that also will have a Config Manager client installed on them. So in order to get these devices upgraded, you would just really do the upgrade through Configuration Manager. You'd create a new task sequence, and that task sequence would be an upgrade task sequence, which is a new task sequence type that we have in Configuration Manager. And then this upgrade will preserve your applications and your configuration and also maintain your management processes that you're used to today. So you don't really have much of a change here from what you're already used to. You're essentially just taking the Windows 10 image, putting it into a task sequence, and then deploying that out. And you don't have a lot of customization, really don't have any customization in that image at all. On the bottom, we have our new Windows 10 devices. And these are the new devices that are out of the box. Now, we mentioned earlier about Azure Active Directory. Well, we can enroll your device using your Azure Active Directory account. We can enroll that into Intune. And then through Intune, we can use something like a provisioning package. We can have policies. All sorts of things can come down from Intune onto that device. So essentially, that device is enrolled and it's managed as soon as someone logs into that device with an Azure Active Directory account. And we manage these devices through what we call MDM, or mobile device management. And mobile device management can kind of seem like a misnomer, because most people will think mobile device management is something that we do with phones or mobile devices. But in this case, mobile devices actually kind of extend to laptops, tablets, even desktop PCs, because with Windows 10, we have an MDM agent that's baked into the operating system. So the benefit that that provides is that you don't actually ever have to install an agent on the device at all. And that MDM agent can be managed through Intune. It could also be managed actually through through Configuration Manager using the new version of SCCM. But that also gives you the ability to manage universal applications through the store, or even line of business applications. Like maybe you have a third-party developer, or maybe your own company develops its own universal application. You can deploy that app through Intune. You can deploy it through SCCM. But we also still have basic MSI support as well through MDM. So if you have your old legacy Win32 applications that you're deploying out, you can deploy those through MDM as well. And then when we do this in-place upgrade, you know, I'm kind of belaboring the point a little bit here with these slides, but we preserve your applications, we preserve your drivers, your user data, and your settings. So we reduce that upfront testing and deployment preparation. This is something that a lot of customers had to do in the past, where they have a new operating system, but the drivers aren't quite there yet from their vendor. Well, most of your drivers that are coming from Windows 7, Windows 8, or Windows 8.1 are going to work with Windows 10. Oftentimes, though, your vendor might actually have updated drivers for Windows 10 to make enhancements to their hardware. So you would want to check to see if there are new drivers, but there isn't any. It isn't necessary to do that unless you know that there's an issue with that hardware. And comparing this to refresh, which is essentially our wipe and load kind of scenario, the in-place upgrade is actually faster. It should take, on average, about 30 to 60 minutes to do the upgrade. Now, again, this is going to depend on hardware. I've seen some customers that have 7, 8, 10-year-old hardware. I mean, I work in education, so education customers, sometimes they have really old hardware that they're still working with that Windows 7 runs great on, but they're kind of concerned whether Windows 10 is going to work on these devices. And in a lot of cases, what we'll see is those devices actually will work well, and in some cases, you'll actually see that that hardware will actually be faster than running Windows 7 because of the optimizations that we made to the operating system. But also with Windows 10, in comparing the refresh to the in-place upgrade, the file size of the default media is actually smaller, because when you're using just default media, you don't have any applications. So when you're customizing an image and you're adding like Office and updates and all that, the file size tends to get a little bit larger. You know, it's going to get probably 6, 7, 8 gigs in size, depending on the applications you're putting into the image. So in this case, when you're deploying an in-place upgrade out through a task sequence or SCCM, you're just using the bare OS media, which is going to be about 3 gigs in size. And then with the in-place upgrade, you also have more robust rollback capabilities on failure to functional down-level OS. And what this really means is, if there's an issue when you're doing your upgrade, once you get into Windows 10, maybe you have an end user that's like, well, I don't really like Windows 10, or I have an application that just doesn't work. You can actually go into settings within Windows 10, and through settings, go to the updates and security node. And when you're in there, you can actually go and roll back the OS back to Windows 7 or to your prior version of Windows 10, or prior version of Windows 10, if you're on the Windows 10 frame.
So, yeah, and I've witnessed that a couple times of the recovery works quite well in that process. Hey, I was going to ask, do you think that a lot of your educational customers are going to compact Windows as well? Can you touch on that?
Yeah, so compact OS. So there's a new functionality that was added to Windows 10 called compact OS, and that was something we actually had this in the past called WinBoot before. But with WinBoot, you had to create different partitioning in order for that to work correctly. Well, with compact OS, what we've done there is we've actually made it so that you can an OEM or even you as an end user could compact that operating system. And what we're seeing with some customers is that those that have really small hard drives, like 16 gigs or 32 gigs, that they actually use compact OS to shave off maybe about a gig or two in size. So that actually helped one of the customers that was in Florida when I was out at the Tech Days. Actually, that's where you and I met, Blaine.
That's right.
They, um, I forget the county of the of, that they were in, but they had used Compact OS in their image, and they had been using WinBoot for a long time, and they were really frustrated with having to use WinBoot because of the partitioning that they had to do. And when they got to Windows 10 and they used Compact OS, they found that it made their lives a lot easier, but it also did shave off that gig or two in size. So when you're using like a 16 gig hard drive, you're looking at really cheap hardware that's probably less than, you know, $250 or $200, that hardware, you know, disk space is a premium. And if you're shaving a gig or two, that's over 10%. Of disk space that they would save. So definitely something that helps out. And if you're using something like the Windows Imaging and Configuration Designer, there's actually an option in there that when you're creating your media to enable Compact OS without having to go through the command line or do anything that way. So that's one option that you would have to enable it. But if you're looking for any additional insight into Compact OS, I think at the end of the show or in the materials that we provide later, we actually can provide a link to a good blog post that actually was written recently by one of our Windows Business Group members, Michael Niehaus. He actually wrote a good blog post that actually explains Compact OS and how it works.
Yeah, my Surface Pro 4 actually came with the Compact OS. You can go to the command prompt, check for it. So it's sometimes people don't even know they're running it.
Absolutely. I think it's actually like compact.exe, and then there's a command line switch that you can run to get to see whether or not you're running Compact OS.
Thanks for talking about that.
Yeah, no problem. And then lastly here, zero dependencies on the Windows ADK. So those of you that have been doing deployment for a while, you're probably used to the Windows. If you're doing deployment from Windows 7, you're probably used to the Windows AIK. The Windows ADK came in Windows 8. And we need Windows ADK when we're doing new deployments, because essentially what Windows ADK has is it has Windows PE. So Windows PE is our Windows pre-execution environment. So we don't really need that when we're doing our in-place upgrades, because what we do, essentially all we're doing, is we're running setup.exe. And Configuration Manager, when you integrate Config Manager and using that to deploy Windows 10, it's going to run setup.exe with a number of command line switches. And it just does the in-place upgrade there, and it's silent, and it does the reboots that you need, and you get to Windows 10. So there's really no dependency on the Windows ADK. So then with upgrade and refresh, when do we use refresh? You know, when should we continually do wipe and loads? When you have configuration drift or change. Let's say that you have to do a domain change within the environment. You would want to do a wipe and load in those kinds of scenarios. You wouldn't be able to do an in-place upgrade and change the domain at the same time. If you want to change local administrators, if you want to do a bulk application swap, or if you want to do fundamental changes to the machine, and like disk partitioning, you're not going to be able to do a disk partitioning change during an in-place upgrade. If you want to convert a device from using BIOS to UEFI, then you would also need to do a wipe and load in that case, as well as going from an architecture change like x86 to x64. Or if you're trying to change the base OS language, maybe from English to Spanish or something like that, if you want to do that, you would need to change, you need to do wipe and load. And also if you have any custom requirements, whether WinPE needs to be in offline mode, whether we have a custom base image, you got applications that are inside of that image, or something that's custom that you need, you'll have to do a wipe and load in that case. And also with third-party disk encryption software, you might have a disk encryption software that has the hard drive locked down, and in those kinds of cases, an in-place upgrade won't actually turn off the disk encryption. It will do it for BitLocker, though. So that's something to know, that we will suspend BitLocker and allow you to use BitLocker still and do the in-place upgrade. But we can't really promise that these things will work with things like McAfee's disk encryption, Symantec, Checkpoint, all the other ones that are out there.
What would you recommend if somebody was going from 7 to say 8.1 and then to 10? You know, what's the behavior there?
I would just say go from 7 to 10.
Yes, exactly. I mean, most folks out there are going from 7 to 10, but I mean, I'm talking about people that have 7 that went to 8.1, that upgraded to 8.1, and now they want to go to 10.
Yeah, just upgrade from 8.1 to 10. It's a valid upgrade path. No, there should really be no surprises there. Obviously, you want to test, make sure that your application stack works, because that's usually the biggest problem is we've got an application here, too, that just don't work with Windows 10, or the vendor doesn't support it, or we've got some sort of contract that we signed with the vendor for this application that says you must run this OS at this patch level, for this, you know, with this version of Internet Explorer or this web browser. So a lot of the issues that customers will have might not necessarily be Windows related, but it might be an application or it might even be a contract that they're stuck in.
Right, exactly. Gotcha.
So for our core operating system deployment scenarios, so if you're familiar with Config Manager, if you've been doing operating system deployment for a long time, our key scenarios are still the same. We've got in-place upgrades, we have new computer deployments, which are just fresh installs of a brand new operating system on a brand new device. Pixie booting. Pixie booting, you'll still use Windows deployment services to Pixie boot and to self-provision your operating system using F12. Wipe and load scenarios, we talked a lot about that. Side-by-side deployments, so which is similar to wipe and load, but these side-by-side deployments might be when you've got old hardware and you're going to new hardware and you need to image the new hardware, but you need to get the old user data from that old device onto the new device. So using Configuration Manager, using MDT, and combined with the user state migration tool, you can use that to grab your data from one device and put it on that new device and image an image with the new Windows 10 image. And also offline with removable media. So in scenarios where we have low bandwidth or no bandwidth, we have the ability to use offline imaging through using a USB stick. And then as well as pre-stage media. And pre-stage media is something that you would see really like from an OEM standpoint, where you create a task sequence and that pre-staged media that you create with that task sequence will get you up to the point where Windows is installed. Or it's copied to that USB stick. And you take that stick, or maybe you just take the image of that, and you give it to your OEM. They put it on the devices that you're purchasing from them. That device comes into you at your place of business. You then take that device, hook it up to the network, and it'll continue the task sequence and install applications and any other configuration that you have within your task sequence to get that device completely imaged with all the applications and setting the job. So when it comes to Windows 10 and deployment strategy, we have a few different ways to really think about the different releases of Windows 10. So if we start on the left-hand side, we see here that we have the Windows Insider Preview branch. So the Windows Insider program is a program that essentially gives our customers the ability to see what we're doing with the new versions of Windows that are going to be coming in the future. And this allows us to get feature and performance feedback from our customers. They can also do application compatibility validation, so they can make sure that their applications work ahead of time. And we really, really want customers to opt into this program, especially our IT pros that are out there that are responsible for imaging. They don't have to go with their day-to-day machine, but if they have a machine that they use to test applications or to test various things, the Windows Insider program is a great program for them to opt into. To make sure that what we're doing with Windows is works for their environment and the application stack that they support. And if things aren't working, provide feedback to us with the Windows feedback tool that's baked actually into the Windows operating system. So we'll do this for test machines and small pilots. Usually this is like the IT pro or the IT group within an organization. But as we move forward and we get to release, so just this past November, we released our what we're calling the November update or the November upgrade. That release came as what we're calling current branch. So if a customer went out and they took the upgrade from Windows Update and that got them to the November release, they're running current branch. Anyone that actually goes out to MSDN or to volume licensing and they deploy the 15.11 release or the November release, that's our current branch release. And this is supposed to be deployed to our appropriate audiences. So what we mean by appropriate audiences, typically this is on the consumer side, but it doesn't necessarily have to be. This could also go out to your IT group to validate and test and make sure that everything in the current branch is ready for broad deployment. But these are really your early adopter users. These are the ones that you're comfortable with having them use the latest release of Windows, and also they're the users that are going to give you feedback to make sure that applications and everything is working the way things are supposed to work. Moving forward, we have this thing called Current Branch for Business. So what the Current Branch for Business is, it's essentially a 4-month delay of the current branch. So in November, we released our November release, and that's current branch today. 4 months later, that current branch will be current branch for business. And what that will include in it is the same code that's in current branch, plus the latest cumulative update for Windows 10. And this is where you would deploy to your general population. This is a broad release of all of your end users. And then this is something that we would really expect most of our enterprise customers to be on. That we expect them to be on the current branch for business. And then lastly, we have this thing called the long-term servicing branch, or LTSB. And the LTSB is really designed for specialized systems or mission-critical systems. And when we're talking about mission-critical systems, these are really devices and machines that are designed for really one specific task. And oftentimes, these machines might not even have someone at the physical terminal. It might be something that's running, air traffic control, something that we say often, but it could be, I worked at an airport once, and they had a Windows device that was controlling the parking garage and the arm that goes up and down to allow cars in and out. So these kinds of devices are those that would run the long-term servicing branch. And the long-term servicing branch really won't get those feature updates that we have that are on the devices that are running current branch or current branch for business.
Yeah, and one thing here to stress too, like you mentioned, is, you know, start with a small pilot. Get some folks internally that are your champions, so to speak, that you know are going to test the product, install applications, and give you feedback, right? Because as we've been talking to the product groups, it's starting now with your test groups and testing your apps out and getting that feedback back to Microsoft. I mean, don't wait for SP1, because there isn't going to be one. So now is the time to get in there and start testing and give us your feedback. So thanks for covering that.
Yeah, no problem. Yeah, no, it's a great point that feedback is something that, you know, historically Microsoft hasn't really asked for a lot of feedback with prior versions of Windows. You know, it's really refreshing now to see that we're actually taking so much feedback from our customers to make sure that Windows is working in a way that it needs to for our end users and for our customers.
Yeah, it's kind of like you always hear the term, you get what you pay for. This is you get what you ask for.
So, yeah, exactly.
So give us your feedback. Can't make it better if we don't know. So
yeah, absolutely. So a Windows 10 management for configuration manager. So what does this look like? Last week we just released System Center Configuration Manager, and what we're calling this release vehicle is our current branch. So with Windows 10, we have current branch, and with Configuration Manager, we also have current branch. And the availability of this was 12/8, 2015, so just last week. But updates are going to be released periodically throughout the year. As Windows 10 evolves, Configuration Manager needs to evolve as well to manage the operating system. So you're going to see Windows and Config Manager in lockstep as we move forward. And with Windows 10 features, we're going to have new features, security updates, as well as bug fixes. We'll support all of that through the current branch of Configuration Manager. And support for Configuration Manager from a Microsoft support standpoint, you can defer updates of Configuration Manager for up to 12 months before you must deploy updates to maintain support. So what this means is that if you install the November release of Config Manager, so 15.11, and you don't take any of the updates moving forward, you have until next November to be in support. So you'll have 12 months. And then the servicing model supported. We support Windows 10 current branch for business, and long-term servicing branch with the current branch of Configuration Manager. And down here on the bottom, we've got a little timeline chart here of current branch 15.11, and then in the winter, we may see another current branch release. And then later in 2016, maybe in the summer, we'll see another current branch release there. So periodic releases of Configuration Manager will be coming forward. And I'll go over, when we get to the demo piece of this, I'll actually go over what this looks like in the console and how you can actually keep up with these updates. Because if you've ever done a Config Manager update or upgrade, they can take a little bit of time. So we'll see what we've done there with Configuration Manager, how to allow you to keep up to date with these new current branch releases. And then also with technical previews. So with Configuration Manager, we also have a program called the Technical Preview. And we're currently in the Technical Preview 4 of Configuration Manager. And what the Technical Preview will allow you to do is you can install a separate instance of Config Manager and see what's coming in the next current branch release. So what I would suggest for most of our IT pros out there is stand up a Technical Preview VM with Configuration Manager installed and validate scenarios there. So do some testing just to make sure that things are working and so that you're up to speed on what's coming with the new releases of the current branch of Config Manager. Okay, so dashboards and deployment. So I'm jumping out of Config Manager's update cadence to what we're doing with Windows 10 and the new dashboard and deployment rings node. So what we see here in the screenshot here is we see that we have a new node called Windows 10 Servicing. And this shows you the Windows 10 usage within your environment, as well as the new Windows 10 rings that we have. And we have things that say, we have rings that are that relate to being release ready, business ready, or using the long-term servicing branch. So release ready would be like the current branch. Business ready would be current branch for business. And then long-term servicing branch is just the LTSB or long-term servicing branch. When we use these deployment rings, we have the ability to create what are called servicing plans. And a servicing plan is just essentially an automatic deployment rule. If you think of automatic deployment rules that we've had in Config Manager in the past, think of a servicing plan as an automatic deployment rule for the Windows 10 upgrades, where you can actually delay how long you want to wait before you deploy a Windows 10 release. And we'll look at what that looks like in the demo here in a minute. And you'll build custom deployment rings to meet new business requirements. So you might have a collection of machines that are your IT group, and their deployment ring might be a shorter amount of time. You might not wait X number of days. You might just go today and say, okay, all the IT staff is going to get Windows 10. You might have an HR group or a finance group that you want to wait because you want to make sure that your IT group has tested everything out first. Or you might have a change acceptance testing group where you've got users from different departments. Like you might have someone from HR, you might have someone from finance, you might have someone from marketing, and they all have different apps that they use. And you want to put them into a ring because you want to make sure that when you deploy Windows 10 out to them, that the applications they use on a day-to-day basis work. And that's something that the IT group doesn't necessarily get to use those applications on a day-to-day basis because they're just not familiar with them. They know how to deploy them, but they don't know how to use them. So this is why having different rings when you're doing your testing can help quite a bit before you actually do a wide deployment to all of your end users.
Yeah, we got a lot of questions on that during the Windows 10 launch event around, hey, what's going on with SCCM and how is it going to interface with the clients that I have? And there's your answer right there. Is the dashboard's awesome.
Yeah, it's great to be able to see who has what, and then also be able to delineate, who gets what, meaning that, which ring do you want to deploy to first? You go for your IT group, you go to a different group, you go to a different group before you finally actually get to a larger group. And this is a lot like deploying software updates, where when we're deploying Windows updates out to devices, from Windows 7 or Windows 8 or 8.1, you always want to start small and just gradually increase before you finally get to a much broader audience. And there's really no difference here with the Windows 10 upgrades. So with Windows 10 management with previous versions of Config Manager, so for those of you that aren't running the new version of Config Manager, you still have support, you have some support for Windows 10. So we can see here in the chart that the product version, if you're running 2012 or 2012 R2 with the latest service packs, you have the ability to support existing features that are included in the latest Windows LTSB at the point of release, and newer features will not be supported. What we are supporting right now is the long-term servicing branch of Windows 10, which was released in July, current branch and current branch for business. That will only support the CV and CVB releases through February 2016. So what that essentially means is the release that came out in November, that right now is current branch. In February, that's going to be current branch for business. That's the last release of Windows 10 that System Center 2012 Configuration Manager will support. You need to go to System Center Configuration Manager, the new release that just came out last week, you need to go to that release to support ongoing builds of Windows 10 after February 2016. So sometimes this is a little confusing for customers, so the slide deck here, this slide will definitely make it a little bit easier for those to follow. For 2007 support, we support the existing features included in the latest long-term servicing branch at point of release, and this is really just management only. So we're not doing any operating system deployment support in 2007. So newer features will not be supported. So the only thing we support is the July release of the long-term servicing branch on 2007. So if you're on 2007 today, you really need to start looking at migrating over to to 2012, or I would just say, just go to the latest release of Config Manager. Don't even bother with 2012, because you'll be in a much better shape of supporting Windows 10 moving forward. And then reasons to upgrade, we have kind of a little eye chart here. It's not too bad. But for System Center Configuration Manager, what I want to focus on here is on the far right, the right and the bottom. So continuous support of new Windows 10 features, more frequent and easier to install Config Manager updates, as well as our on-premises MDM for Windows 10 devices, Office 365 Client Update Manager. We made it easier to manage Office 365 updates for devices, as well as a new unified end-user portal. So those are the big changes that we have in the new version of Config Manager that we didn't see in the 2012 release. With that, that ends our presentation here on the slides. Now we're going to flip over to demo to kind of see what all this stuff looks like.